This is the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our active military, veterans, and families. Welcome to the show, where your destiny is our mission. Hello and welcome to the Engage Your Destiny podcast, where your destiny is our mission. We are serving our active duty military, veterans, and their families stationed all over the world. And guys, with everything that is happening in Israel and the escalation of combat that's happening there, man, we need to be seeking God now more than ever. And you know what? We have soldiers that are in Iraq, that are in Syria, that are in Lebanon, that are in Jordan, that are in Qatar and in Kuwait. And man, we have a strong presence in the Middle East. So I think we all need to take a moment and just pray for peace in the Middle East and for peace for our military to keep our soldiers safe. And so will you join me in a moment of prayer for that? Father God, in the midst of so many things going on in the world and offensives that are taking place for the first time of Iran attacking Israel, Lord, I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, your will would be done, that there'd be peace in Israel, that you would protect Israel and stand with them, and that, Lord, you would show yourself strong. God, be strong for our military, for those that are stationed there. And Father, we just pray for your protection and for your peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we felt deep in our heart that we needed to get into the armor of God for the next several weeks. And so we're beginning the Armor Up series. And that's where, man, whenever you're going to go into combat, you guys know as soldiers, we take in up-armored Humvees. We go into places and we armor up with our body armor, with our weapons, with our helmets, with everything that we do. And that's where it's so crucial that we follow the words of God, because he's going to guide us in how to do warfare and how to do combat, especially in the spiritual realm. And that's where I want to start off, where Paul is giving an incredible verse and a teaching in Ephesians 6. He's writing these letters to the church in Ephesus, and he's finishing, telling them to love their wives and to honor each other and to have strong marriages. And then he goes right into talk of spiritual warfare. If that isn't a hint that the enemy's trying to destroy marriages, man, I can't think of a more clear message than that. But man, I want to read these scriptures to you, and I want you just to sit back and take them in and to let the Lord refresh your mind and renew your mind through the reading of his word. It says in Ephesians 6:10, "Now my beloved ones," that means you are the loved one, "I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with the strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious." And then Paul says, "Put truth as a belt to strengthen you as you stand in triumph." This is the word of the Lord. Man, I love reading these scriptures, and especially as a veteran myself and looking at this and going, man, these are the actual pieces of combat that God has called us to wear, because we are in a hand-to-hand combat that is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities, authorities, and operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. And these principalities, I kind of want to paint a picture for you guys as to how this could be laid out. So I've got a friend of mine who's worked in several different cities in ministry, and he kind of, put this together, and it really made a lot of sense to me. He said, the principalities are really the currency of what people value or what they hold above God in America. It can be broken down into these kind of regions. If it's in New York, it's money. The currency of power and of how you're going to make an impact and what people value, that they value above God, is money. It's Wall Street. It is what you do with the dollar to make a lot of money. He said, if you go to DC, it's power. It's being in a position of power. It's sitting in those seats of power, from the president down to all the different cabinet members and the places, that's what they value. They're far above God. That's the principality. That's what's being worshipped there. It's power. If you go to LA, it's fame. People value fame. They value being in movies and being worshipped as idols. That's the principality of that region, to take people's eyes off of God and get them worshipped on something that is not Him. And it's that in LA, it's fame. If you come to Nashville, I'll tell you what it is. It's famous by association. I can't tell you how many people I talk to in Nashville where they say, man, I'm friends with this person. I hang with this person. I know this person. Being a Minnesota guy who came here and is just a good old, you know, Norwegian, cut holes in the ice and go swimming kind of fella, I'm not used to that. And even in, you know, Minnesota has so many Fortune 100 companies and man, I'd build all these relationships and it was so many genuine relationship building. But then I come here and it was just, who's famous by knowing whoever? And it's like, man, that is the currency. That is the idol. That is what people are using to take their eyes off of Jesus, or what the enemy is using to use people to take their eyes off of Jesus and focus on one specific thing. So again, fame, power, money, famous by association. And these are the principalities that are guarding over these regions, and they are trying to take people's worship, the focus of their hearts, the focus of their minds, off of Jesus and onto those specific things. And so that's where Paul is saying, these types of combat are greater than you could possibly imagine. These principalities are massive demigods. These are demons. These are all-powerful, all-authority dudes that, man, are going to try to steal your worship in these specific regions. And we know that the enemy is defeated, but we still are in a hand-to-hand combat as we are doing life before Jesus comes back. And that's where we are preparing as soldiers, and we need to have the right armor. We need to have the right tools. We need to have the right abilities to fight and to do warfare. And so I find the Belt of Truth fascinating, because when I think about combat, I don't think about putting on a belt. But for those of you who have served in the military and have been to combat, you know how effective a belt is. And what's actually really interesting about a modern day belt is that it's used to hold up our pants. It's also used when we are in air assault school or airborne school. That rigger's belt is essential for our function and how we are going to have those tactical abilities. We also, when I was in Iraq, I had a tactical rigger's belt and it held my 9mm, it held my multi-tool. And it was a big boy belt. It wasn't just some regular belt that you're using as you wear the uniform. This was a rigger's belt. And so in the military, understanding that the belt is a very key piece of our armor and what we use, well, man, it was even greater for the Roman military. So for the Roman military, these Roman centurions would have strips of armor that would hang down to protect the the family jewels, if you will. And so that's where I want to just bring us into this a little bit more, because Paul is saying how important truth is. It's enough to protect the most vital organs that a man can have. And so that's why it's so important. But also, if this belt wasn't secured correctly, it was holding multiple different pieces of warfare, man, the enemy could deliver a final blow and could take out that soldier. And so these pants that they would wear at the time, man, it wasn't like they had inseams, and the designs they had today are skinny jeans that would be like latex that would, you know, stretch over the pant. No, no, no. If you didn't have a good belt, dude, you were going to lose your pants. And so that's why it was so important to have an effective, strong belt. And this belt was at the center of the body. You think about the belt buckle and where it sits, just below the belly button. That's the center of the body. And what Paul is saying is that truth has to be at the center of all of your armor. It has to be the center of all of your weapons of warfare. It has to be at the center of everything. And that's why we have to begin this series talking about truth and why truth is so important in this day and age that we're in, and how truth can radically transform our way of life. So our question for today is, why should we trust God's word and put on the belt of truth that is part of the spiritual armor that we're going to wear as we armor up? We're going to look at three reasons today. The first reason is, there is absolute truth. I'm going to say that again. There is absolute truth. In our culture today, many people do not believe in absolute truth, which is foundational in the understanding of God's truth and who He is and His truth about our lives. And that's where, man, when I was in college, I remember that there was just this movement that took place around what's called moral relativism. And moral relativism says, hey, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. There could not be a deeper lie from the pit of hell that has permeated our culture in that there's multiple different truths. So if someone says to you that there is no absolute truth by saying what's your truth is my truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, they are immediately discrediting their statement, because if you disagree and they continue to proclaim that there's no absolute truth, they are making an absolute statement. When you say there's no absolute truth, you're making an absolute statement. When you're saying that everyone can believe what they want to believe, you're making an absolute statement in that very fact that you're stating. And so this is extremely important in how we relate to Jesus because of the evidence of the resurrection. Jesus has made it clear that the eternal truths God has made known, that He established through the resurrection, is that He is the Son of God, that He is the centerpiece of the gospel, and that in Him all truth comes together. So while there are aspects of truth in other places and other religions, Jesus Christ is the source of absolute truth, because He was either the Son of God or He was a complete liar. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, "I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Him," Him being Jesus, "that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God," which millions of people in this world do. That is the one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and has said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be a devil from hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about Him being a great human teacher. He Himself has not left that open to us, and He did not intend to. Man, can you just take that in for a second? Let us not patronize the suffering and the death and the brutality of what Jesus went through and everything that He did for sin in this world. Let us not take all of that and patronize Him by saying He was just a nice teacher. He did not come to teach nice things. He came to suffer and be brutally murdered for the sins of humanity so that we could have redemption and 100% truth in following God and Him alone. The second reason of why we should trust God's word and put on the belt of truth is that the words of Jesus, the things that He said, are accurate and true. I want to set the precedent that the facts I'm about to give you have been researched and delivered by former atheists who are on a mission to disprove Jesus Christ, the Bible, and the existence of God through their research. And through that research, God gave them revelation, and they ended up giving their lives to follow Christ. They could not deny the validity and the existence of Jesus. Man, I remember being in such a dark time after coming home from Iraq, and I was struggling with PTSD and nightmares and tremors and things like that. And I was in one of the deepest, darkest places in my life. And I was angry at God. I felt broken. I felt completely disconnected from Him. And I hit a point where I didn't want to follow Him anymore. I was wounded. I didn't trust Him. And I came down to this reckoning point where I said, oh my gosh, if I am going to be honest fully with myself, I can be angry at God. I can hate Him. I can be mad at Him. I can not want to follow Him anymore. But the one thing that I cannot deny is that Jesus Christ is the most historically accurate human in the history of the world. And I cannot deny that He existed. And that foundation of truth in my life was enough to keep me in the game to follow Jesus. To give you some of the points that really stuck through my studies was that the first four accounts of Jesus's life are called the Gospels, and these are firsthand accounts of those who walked with Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and John all followed Jesus, and then Luke did an investigation about Jesus and his life. What separates Christianity from the Jewish faith, Muslim, and Buddhist faith is that Jesus was the only one who never wrote anything down. He lived exactly what he was calling people to. The fascinating thing about Luke is that Luke was actually hired by the Roman government to go and investigate all the things that were happening about this Jesus thing. And he went, he investigated it, he ended up giving his life to Jesus, he ended up writing the book of Acts, which was the book that talked about everything that happened after Jesus died. And then Luke died for his faith as well. With the Gospels, we actually have copies that of those writings that are over 70 years after Jesus' death. And these are the actual people who saw Jesus do what he did. Atheists who have researched the historical validity of the Bible cannot deny the accuracy of the words given and the magnitude of the copies that we have of the original text written by the men who watched Jesus do what he did. We have over 20,000 copies of the writings of Jesus, many of which, again, are written within the lifetime of Christ. The next closest person that we have in all of antiquity is Julius Caesar, and we have about 15 copies of his writings, and those writings are copies that were made 340 years after he died. Aristotle's writings are over 1,400 years after he died. Those are the closest copies that we have, and yet no one is going to come against Julius Caesar. No one's going to come against Aristotle. No one's going to say that these people didn't exist or didn't say the things that they said. No, because they didn't claim to be God. Only one man did that, and he called us to lay down our lives and to say that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man shall come to the Father except through him and him alone. And that's why people have been trying to destroy the Bible for the last 2,000 years, and that's why people have been murdering Christians for the last 2,000 years. And that alone is evidence enough that the words of Jesus are true and that they're going to mess things up. And exactly going back to what I was saying in the beginning of this message about the powers and the principalities, they hate Jesus and they want his name torn down so that they can lift up their ways of the world and draw men to them of power, fame, money, sex, all of those things famous by association. And when they don't get what they want, they put the spirit of death in men and then they want to go and destroy the things of God. And that is why we need these armor devices, these pieces of armor, so that we can do warfare. The third reason why you should trust God's word and put on the belt of truth is that God's promises are true for you. If there is foundational truth, where things are actually right and wrong, and I want to pause on this because this is a big piece that C.S. Lewis really brought about, and C.S. Lewis was a former atheist. And what he couldn't come to grips with is that where does the conviction of humanity and the conscience of the mind where there is right and wrong come from? The one thing that Lewis could not explain as he was wrestling for the existence of God is where does the conviction and the guilt and shame that comes from doing something wrong versus doing something right, where does that come from? Where do the laws of humanity come from? Where do people, after they do something bad, get the feeling of, I should not have done that? And he said that this was an indescribable, invincible type of understanding that was given to men, and it could only be given to men from God. Otherwise, we would be completely carnal and absolutely without any type of goodness or sense in us. And so where does the goodness in us come from? If we look all throughout history and we see the evil that has been done, man, people think that we're living in evil times now. I'm telling you, go and study some of the things that have happened throughout history. Study the Holocaust. Study the rape of Nanking when the Japanese went and invaded China. Man, go and study what happened in Rwanda with the genocide there. This is what man is capable of. And what Lewis is arguing is that when men are capable of so much evil, and you have people that can look at that and say, that is evil, that is things that we shouldn't go be doing, we need to go fight for that or stop that, or there's people within those communities that are trying to stop the resistance, where does that urge for goodness come from? Because clearly with so much evil in the world, it couldn't come from man, because we know what man's capable of. Man is capable of raping and pillaging and complete destruction, but the goodness can only come from God. And so if there is that indescribable quality that puts goodness into men that comes from God, that is evidence that there is a truth that God wants to put in your life because he created truth, he created absolute truth, and then what he says about you is true if you decide to follow him. And so this is where God's word says, if anyone is in Christ, what does that mean? It means that they've decided to follow Christ and give their life to him. Then that man is a new creation. They are a brand new person. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All of this is from God and through Christ, who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of bringing men to Christ. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. What is this saying to you, my friend? Is that God wants to reconcile all of the evil and all of the negativity and all of the sin that has taken place in your life, and he wants to bring you into a holy union with him that can only be brought about through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then from there, he wants to give you the ministry of reconciliation so that you can go and touch the world and do the same and bring people into relationship with him. Through that, as we are reconciled to God, he made Jesus, who knew absolutely no sin, to become sin itself, so that we would become the righteousness of God. And that's where I want to ask you, do you believe that you're righteous? Do you believe that you are a new person in Jesus? Do you believe that you are actually righteous and a new person? Going on to some of these promises that God makes over us. He says that God is able to bless you abundantly. Do you want to be blessed so that all things and at all times you will have everything you need for every good work? Do you want everything you need for every good work that you could ever have in your life? Well, man, it's in Christ. Psalm 34:10 says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Do you want to lack no good thing? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives to all generously without finding fault, and he will be given to you. Do you want wisdom for every situation that you need? Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. Believe that you've received it, and brother, it will be yours. Romans 8:37, yet in the midst of all these things, we triumph over all things, for God has made us to be more than conquerors. Do you want to be a conqueror? Man, I could go on and on and on, but friend, you've got to understand today that this is the truth of God in Christ, and that when you put on the belt of truth, you get all the promises too. When you decide to follow Jesus, man, you're one of the boys in blue. When you decide to follow God and put your hope in him, you get all of his promises. And so it's a day to start living in promises. It's a day to start living in truth. It's a day to start believing in the goodness and the freedom and the mercy of God, so that you can go and you can live the destiny God has for your life, and that is to bring heaven to earth. Do you want heaven to be a part of what you're doing? I know I do. Desperately, voraciously, I want heaven in my life. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for truth to come and impact your life in a radical way, and that the works of God would come and move mightily. Jesus, I ask that you would bless every listener today. I pray that they would know your truth, encounter your truth, experience your truth, that the fire and the love, the burning love of God would come into every person listening to this, every soldier, every veteran, and every warrior at heart. And that, Lord, you would fill them with your truth, that they would strap on the belt of truth today and live in truth in every way, and that you would free them from the lies of the enemy that would try and steal, kill, or destroy from them. I pray you bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them and be gracious to them, and give all your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, it was such a blessing to be with you today. Please like and subscribe and follow the podcast so we can reach more military veterans and their families all over the world. We love you, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.